And we are live for the 151st episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I'm your host, Matt Lozaluigi, and tonight it's Andrew and I. Andrew, I'm not going to ask how you're doing because it's obviously terrible. We're coming off a sweep of the Angels, losers of five of the last six, I believe nine of the last 11. It's, look, I don't want to beat a dead horse, right? I think we kind of do that. A decent amount, being that it's been kind of the same vibe with this team for the past month. But yeah, it's rock bottom, and it looks like it's gonna continue there, man. It's their last place, 3.5 back out of a wild card spot, and with 10 days before, 10-11 days before the trade deadline, all of a sudden the buyer versus seller debate becomes like an actual real debate, and more and more people are going towards the seller side. And it's, Andrew, it's safe to say, and obviously, I'm 27, you're a few years older than me, we've watched a lot of Yankee teams. I mean, I've watched the Yankees for 20 years, right? It's like 20 seasons that I like remember being a fan, watching team after team. I think this is the worst Yankee team I've ever watched, and it's a lot of teams say that, and it's like
sure
a hot
the worst race. Team.
But like, yeah. It's actual like reasonable take now. It's like, yeah, that this is for sure the worst team, that the Yankee team that I've ever seen, and they might, like, at this rate, they might break the over 500 streak, like at the rate they're going. It
kind of looks that way, right? So look, I don't think you or anyone else is wrong to say that this is the worst Yankee team in our lifetime. I know 2013, 2014, 2016 existed. Terrible teams that didn't even come close. I don't want to say didn't come close to making playoffs. They missed the playoffs by about four or five games each of those
years. Three, 4 years.
But they were just bad teams. Like, you were rolling out guys like Luis Cruz and Reed Brignac, right? You had to make trades for Travis Hafner and Kevin Youkilis, and
they
signed Youkilis, Vernon Wells, right? Chris Nelson, David Adams, all those guys, right? Like, we don't have to belabor that point. Like, this team is different because they have a $275 million payroll. I get their best player has been hurt half the year, but they still have a $36 million ace, and they have nothing else behind him, right? You have a lot of quote-unquote veteran, I don't even want to call them stars anymore, because they're not, right? A couple years ago, you'd say, yeah, okay, Josh Donaldson, Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, DJ LeMahieu. All right, you got some power here. They're just old and bad. They're just overpaid bad players at this point, right? Like, I'd rather have a team like, I don't even want to say the Cincinnati Reds, because that's going in the complete opposite direction. Young, electric stars. But like, just give me like any middle of the road team, like the San Francisco Giants, right? They just have a bunch of young 30-year-olds. Like, no one's really so much of a superstar, but like, they kind of have something going on. Like, I would rather a team like that, because then the expectations are at least lowered, right? The Yankees go into every single year talking like it's World Series or bust. They spend close to $300 million. Actually, they probably exceed $300 million this year after the taxes on the payroll. And this is the product we get, man. Look, we talked about it all offseason. We've talked about it for weeks on end on this podcast, and I'm sick and tired of it. I'm actually at a point where them losing game after game almost is a good thing, right? Because it means we're going to get impactful change. It means people are going to lose their jobs. It means they're going to have to make a concrete change in their philosophical team building process. And I think if they just eked out 88 wins and a wild card appearance and maybe lost in three games, or let's say they play the Twins, and they beat them, and then they got annihilated by Baltimore, Tampa Bay, or whoever in the second round, ownership would think, well, it was just another year. We'll get them next year. It's fine. And I think you need a smack in the face like we're getting this year to actually change things for the good.
Right. I think that's like how I felt for the past few weeks. And I think it was like, Tommy's smoke. So for Barstool, who, I'm not like a big Barstool baseball guy, but, he kind of came out with that take where that's the
that
only
was
thing
a
that's
great
change.
Video
and it was.
That was so good,
and a lot of people were like, wow, this guy, he wants the team to lose, like, what the fuck? And I'm like, look, man, like, all the like, at this point, how could you watch this team and just like really, like these fans, like you guys are rooting for another wild card exit, another ALDS exit. Like, it's just, how can you think like this team has any chance of doing anything in the postseason? Right. Like, I think I said at the beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, they'll lose in the ALCS. Now I'm thinking like, wow, what a lofty expectations I had, because I mean, they're probably not going to get to the playoffs. But really, that at this point, with the way Hal operates, and I'm not even like this year, it's not even about Hal, because I truly believe at this point that he's really just not involved in the baseball activities because he doesn't really know the game that well, and that's fine. But he spends the money, he puts up the money, and I mean, if he didn't, like I said, last year, we all wanted Cashman gone. We all wanted Boone gone after we got swept, right? We were all done. But I think we all knew in like the back of our minds that it probably wasn't going to happen. This year feels different, right? Like Dylan Lawson, that was just kind of them trying to like spark something. We're seeing that, like that Dylan Lawson's probably sitting home laughing right now. Right, saying, yeah, like, you guys fired me. You thought it was me. There's literally no change. They've actually gotten worse, right? I think they broke a record. They struck out, like, 36 times in the series against the Angels. I think it was, like, the most strikeouts.
It was 44, actually.
Or 44, yeah. It was just some crazy number, like, broke a record. And the crazy thing, like, not to get off track, but, like, the crazy thing is, the pitchers they're getting shut out by, like, terrible pitchers. Literally, like, Jameson, Taillon, like, guys that have 6.8, 5.5. A guy that just gets called up from AAA at 7 strikeouts and 4 shutout innings. Like, it's just brutal. And, like I said, this year just feels different in terms of this may be it for Cashman. Like, with Donaldson just blowing up, with, like, now that article that comes out, you're looking for a catcher, right? The Yankees are looking to upgrade a catcher. Like, when was a great time to add to your team? The offseason. Like, how are you going to be doing, like, 3 or 4 months after, or, you know, obviously, like, 3 or 4 months into the season after you extend your GM, you're looking to upgrade half your team. And your team without your prized possession, your Aaron Judge, your team was literally the worst offense in baseball. It's just, I do not see how you could keep your job after that. And like you said, the only thing that I really think is going to make Hal actually make changes, the front office actually make changes, is them going below 500, is them literally being dead last, 10, 15 out of a playoff spot. You know, like maybe not like a 75 win team. That's the only way they'll make changes. And it's sad to say, because like if they go let's say they go 85 and 77. And I think even if they miss the playoffs by one game, they'll try to spin it as, oh, well, a lot of bad breaks this year. I mean, if this and this and this and this doesn't happen, like, but you know, like it's maddening. Because for so many
things only get better if they lose 85 or more games or something like that. And it's so funny because for the longest time I've held firm to that 500 record. Like, they haven't finished below 500 since what, I think 1993 is the season. So certainly your entire lifetime. Like, I was just learning to walk basically at that point, right? Every single year that I've ever watched this team, even when they've been quote unquote bad, they still won 85, 86, 87 games, right? And then they mixed in a couple championships when I was younger. And then they've been to the playoffs basically every year over the last 10. And it just seems like they need a real kick in the teeth right now for things to actually change. As a fan, and I know it feels weird, you don't want to root for your team to lose. But if you actually want to see your team elevate themselves to the way they actually talk about themselves, you want to see them be a World Series contender again, if you want to see a deep playoff run that's not just like, oh yeah, we made it to the ALCS and we got our ass kicked by the Astros, but like an actual impactful run that you think, like, holy shit, we're going to win it all this year, then you need to take one giant step back so you can take two big steps forward in the future. And it's weird, but we have to come to that realization. And I don't care about that 500 streak anymore, because I'm sick and tired of watching mediocrity. I'm sick and tired of seeing them spend all this money, claim that they're a World Series contender, and not even come close to sniffing that, right? We know we're the third or fourth or fifth best team in our league in a good year. And right now we're, what, not eighth or ninth in the standings? in the American League, we really do need a full-on reset. And if that means that we get completely humbled this year, I'm willing to swallow that pill.
Yeah, absolutely. And something I want to talk about, let's talk about, so I'm not sure if you watched it. I know I watched though. I usually don't watch Talking Yanks, or, you know, I obviously follow them on Twitter and everything, and they do very well, obviously. But the interview with Boone they had, I believe it was Tuesday. It was after the first game of the Angels series. And, you know, man, like, it really is crazy. It's tough. We always say how it's tough to watch Boone post-game pressers. And man, just listening to him talk, it really is just so frustrating. And like I've said this year, it was tough for me to be mad at him most of the year, because I truly did think, I'm like, all right, this is just such a flawed roster. Like, how can you, like, you could have the greatest manager ever out there. Like, you know, just like whatever hitting, like what I said with the hitting coach, I said, you could have whatever hitting coach you're going to get in there. This is a bad lineup, right? It's probably still going to be bad. I don't think Sean Casey's unlocking anything. Like, I kind of felt the same about Boone with the roster. But man, over the last few weeks, just like with his actions, with what he said, like, it really just feels like he's just like a dead man walking. And like, really, like on Talking Yanks, he's on the interview. Like, they ask him about Ohtani, you know, he had that line like, oh, when you manage the team, like, it's like, dude, how are you going to be snarky? Like, you're a 45-year-old man. You're the manager of the New York Yankees, and you're going to like be like all snarky and short tempered. That people like question your like decisions that are terrible. It's just brutal. And like I said, it's not even just his decisions anymore. It's just his whole attitude. And really, like, another thing, Rizzo laughing in the dugout. I mean, look, I get that these guys are human, and I get you're not going to just be like stone faced. But man, you're about to get swept. You're losing 4-0. And especially Rizzo, like, you haven't gotten a home run in literally 2 months. You've been, like, one of the worst hitters in baseball. Like, you know, man, like, it's shit like that literally made me say, like, I saw a tweet that was someone said, like, they should trade Rizzo to, like, Kansas City or, like, Oakland. And, like, honestly, man, like, that's some, like, people always talk about George, like, oh, George would have done this. Like, that is literally something George Steinbrenner would have done. Like, if you're laughing in the dugout while your team, like, the Yankees are, like, the worst team in baseball, like, you're getting traded that next day. Like, you're gone. And really, it's just, there's just such like this team just doesn't care. It's such like an unlikable team. And that's why, like, look, and we'll talk about it more. It's funny, like, the conversation a week or two ago was like, oh, well, you know, like, we have like a few of us that tweet, you know, me, Andrew, and one of our other blog members, Max, who is like the main tweeters from the Twitter page. And, you know, Max in the past like week or so was kind of tweeting like, oh, we need to do this and this and this for Ohtani. And I think, Andrew, me and you were both like, dude, like, who cares? Like, why? Like, what's Ohtani going to do for this team? He's one guy. As great as he is, he's one guy. Like, we see what he's doing with a bad team in LA. Has it been in the playoffs? Like, we need 5 Ohtanis to have
right,
a chance.
Right, right. And look, you look at all of the, I'm going to use the Red Sox as an example, right? So, like, 2012. They sold off all these high-priced veterans, right? Like Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, right? They got rid of all those guys, cleared cap, and then they signed a bunch of just slightly above-average veterans, Mike Napoli, Shane Victorino, Ryan Dempster, those kind of guys, right? You don't rebuild your team, right, from being a last-place team, underachieving team, with one superstar. I get it. We've never seen a superstar the likes of Shohei Ohtani, what he does on both sides of the ball. He can pitch to Cy Young numbers, and he's currently on pace to roughly tie, if not break, Aaron Judge's single-season home run record that he just set last year. I get he's an otherworldly talent to unicorn, right? But you don't rebuild your entire franchise with one guy. Certainly not on a half-season rental, just on the hope that, well, he'll come into New York, he'll experience the fans, the city, maybe we'll make the playoffs, and then that'll be enough to make him re-sign. Like you said, he's there with one of the other best players in all of baseball, Mike Trout, and they finish bottom of the division every year, right? Ohtani isn't going to make any substantial difference. And I'm not even sure that I want them to pursue him in the offseason, because they'd be better off reallocating the 55, 60 million, whatever the hell he's going to get on an average annual basis, to 4 or 5 other guys, because we have that many holes in the line. Like, Ohtani is a finishing piece. Juan Soto is a finishing piece. those are the guys when you're like, eh, we're just a little bit short. We want to get over the hump. Oh, the Astros have our number, and we're just short by this one guy, and he can take us to the promised land. You sign that guy. You trade for that guy. You do whatever it takes to win the championship, right? The Yankees need help in so many different places that I don't even know what the solution is, and I can't begin to comprehend it right now because it's not one. It's not two. It might even be three guys. They might need five or six improvements on the roster. So, yeah, I'm with you. Otani would be incredible. You pair him with Aaron Judge in the lineup, but does that actually help us? Does that make us World Series contenders? A lot of people say yes. I don't think so.
Yeah, if this team was like in first place, three games up, Otani would make sense. Like, yeah, we could get a half season to add Otani to our play. Let's do it. But it's like we're four games out of a playoff spot right now for the third wild card spot. And you look at it, the teams above us, the Astros, the Blue Jays. I'm like, bro, these teams are better than us right now. These teams are like that. The lineup we're putting out night in, night out, it's literally the worst lineup in baseball. Like, it's no exaggeration. Like, we have, like, it's like, all night, Volpe's batting fifth. Like, Oswald Peraza comes up, and, you know, he had a nice first game. Then he goes 0 for 9 with 8 strikeouts. Like, it's, like, Anthony Rizzo hasn't gotten a home run in 2 months. He's our cleanup hitter a lot of nights. Like, it's awful. It is absolutely awful. And it's just an absolute indictment on Cashman and how poorly constructed the roster was. And I'm so sick of, like, you know, I'm so sick of how right I was about this fucking team. Like I said, I was so nervous. I've gone back and listened to our preseason pod, and I was saying on the preseason pod how nervous I was about the offense. I said, man, I'm not sure where the offense is going to come from. All these guys are a year older, right? Like, Judge isn't going to do what he did again. And here we are. Like, here we are. So now, like I said at the beginning of the pod, we're getting close to the trade deadline. This weekend, Kansas City series, right? Kansas City is the second worst team in baseball, right? They're, I think, like three games better than Oakland. Like, they're really bad. Do the Yankees win that series? Because, luckily, they've been losing to bad teams, right? They're, like, drop two or three to Colorado. You drop two or three to Chicago. You get swept by the Angels. They drop two or three to St. Louis about a month ago. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to lose to Kansas City as well. And if they lose two or three or obviously get swept against Kansas City, I mean, that it's official. Like, they're sellers. Like, there is no going back. Like, there is no way they can convince themselves anyway, because we've talked about it on the last episode. That stretch they have after Kansas City is not pretty, right? You play the Mets two games, who obviously the Mets are having their own issues, but overall, it's still a Yankees-Mets game. And, you know, they always bring their A game. They'll probably take at least a game from that. And then it's the Orioles, the Rays, and the Astros for 10 games, because it's a four-game set against the Astros. Like, that's rough. That's rough. If you don't have Judge back for that, like, you might not win two games in that 10-game stretch with the way they're playing right now. I mean, they can't hit. They literally cannot hit. I mean, Franchi Cordero came up and had a nice game, but, like, it's terrible. It's not even though they can't hit. Then they get on. They get out on the base. Like, they've had like four or five base running out. They're just, like, I guess, like we've said countless times, they're such an awful product. It's like jarring. It's like actually jarring. I remember Michael Kay said on the broadcast when Franchi got thrown out, like going from second to third, ball was in front of him. He goes, man, like, you don't go on that ball. My 8-year-old knows that. So my 8-year-old, he's right. Like, they teach that. Oh, when you're around second, the ball's hit in front of you. You go, you freeze, and you go back to the bag. It's like just basic shit that they're just getting, like, they're just messing up on, and like, it's just an awful product. And that's why. And like, blow the entire team up except Judge and Cole. It's simple as that.
You might have to, and I know they won't do it because they have a terrible track record with it. But if you're going to decide that you want to be a seller, even if you want to do that weird 2016, we're going to buy. Remember, like, they traded for Tyler Clippard, and they traded away Chapman and Miller and Beltran. So you could do like that weird quasi, we're going to buy and sell type thing just because we want to move some money. We want to get some new faces in here. We're not giving up on the season, but we kind of are, kind of thing. They have to, absolutely have to bring up some of their top prospects, right? Like, I don't know if a guy like Andres Chaparro is going to get promoted, but Everson Pereira should as shit, right? Austin Wells has been stalled out in Double A because they say, hey, his bat's ready, but I don't really like his defense behind the plate. So you know what? Then put him at first base because we're not getting shit from Anthony Rizzo, right? Or do something, right? They have to take stock in the organization this year. If they're going to not go all in, which I don't want them to go all in, but that's still a decision that they still might make. But if they make the firm decision that we are not going to go all in on a wasted 2023 season, then you need to take stock of your prospects. You need to get an idea of, hey, this is a lost season, but let's not just play out the string with a bunch of washed vets and say, hey, we're going to finish 7 games under .500, whatever, we'll come back again next year. You need to take the time that you're already throwing away the season and get an idea of, where do we stand next year? Where do we stand in 2025, 2026? If you don't feel confident in your prospects now to even promote them, then you might as well trade them, right? Then I don't mind them being buyers, so to speak, at least get something. Like, there's talk today that was about a guy like Brendan Donovan, which I don't think you go and get him to try and save your season, but he is also under control for 6 more seasons. So that is appealing, because if you're trying to rebuild your franchise and set yourself up for the future, you want someone who has long-term control, right? Obviously, your prospects are that as well. And you have no idea where you stand as an organization unless you actually give these kids a chance, right? We saw Peraza. Everyone begged for Peraza to come up for months. And he had that game in LA where he reached base 5 times. I'm not saying he's some stud, right? He's not going to be better than Gleyber Torres ever was promised to be. He's made errors on the bases, right? He's looked shaky in the field. I get that. But you have to get an idea of where your prospects stand. Because if you go into the offseason still unsure of your prospects, then you're going to kind of be that in between, as opposed to if you know definitively these kids are awesome, we're going to build our roster around them next year, that's fine. Or if you say, hey, you know what, these kids can't cut it, then you know to go all in on free agency and trades, whatever it may be,
right,
to completely bring in new faces. And I think they're going to do that weird one foot in, one foot out thing where they kind of hamstring themselves. And then it's the same old, right?
Yeah, I mean, like AC, another member of our blog, had a great, you know, like he had a great, he, you know, we record vlogs, and he had a great, he said something very intelligent the other day about how the Yankees just, they don't bring up their prospects correctly. Like, all these other teams will have young guys, they're 20, 21, 22 years old, year or two removed from college, they've, you know, went up fast for the minors, and it's like, then there's guys in the Yankees like Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, like all these guys who were just like rotting in the minor leagues. Like, oh, this guy's in high A, and didn't he get drafted 2 years ago? Like, oh, this guy. It's like you say to yourself, oh, well, he's, you know, he's struggling at this level. But there's just something. There's like a trend of like Austin Wells at 24 years old at Double A. Like, there's something fundamentally wrong that they are doing with their offensive prospects. Like, we talked about how they all the time. About how the only offensive prospect that's panned out for them in the last like 10, 15 years is Aaron Judge. That's it. That's literally the only one. Like Gary, Greg Bird, like you could literally go on and on about the offensive prospects that have been in their system that were supposed to be not even, you know, like, well, let's not act like they had a bunch of guys where it's like, oh, well, this guy's going to be the next Hank Aaron and this guy's going to, no. But they had a bunch of guys that were thought to be at above average major league hitters, right? They were like, okay, these guys are projected to be at least decent hitters, right? Like Clint Frazier and all these guys. Like, I know Clint Frazier didn't come up in the Yankees, but they got Frazier when he was basically a prospect, so he kind of counts. But the point is, like, none of their offensive prospects have panned out other than Judge. It's incredible. And like I said, you have to just say, like, okay, this can't just be random. Like, it has to be something that they are not doing or that they're doing incorrectly that's just fucking these guys up. And like I said, I just don't know what it is, but yeah, like at this point, I would love to see get the guys get brought up Everson Perez, like just because really, I think they should try to trade DJ. I think they should try to trade Rizzo, Herman, maybe like Clay Holmes probably has value. Maybe he gets something for him. Just have a full on sale. Like I really just because at this point, like. You could boon yourself and have like the boon speech and say, oh, well, we're only a few games out. We're still above 500. But like I said, see how you feel after that stretch, after that 10 game stretch, because you're the easy stretch you had against all these bottom feeding teams that you're now fumbling and just doing terribly. Like that's kind of going to be the nail in the coffin, because I just don't see a feasible way that you're going to go even like 500. in the next like 12, 15 games, right? Like after these three Royals games, you're playing good teams. Even the, like I said, even the Mets, like, you know, the Mets are going to play it tough. And then even after that 10 game stretch, like there's a 6-game stretch where they have to play the Marlins and then the Braves. So it's like, it's not going to get easy for them, man. And like you said, that there's the people that still are trying to convince themselves, like, and this is something else we could segue to. If I hear, and of course, like after we, like we're talking about it Monday, about how it's pissing us off, how people keep on mentioning the 2019, like the 2019 Nationals that won the World Series and the 2021 Braves that won the World Series, right? The Nationals won 93 games. And even
last year's Phillies that made the World Series.
And in the last year's the Braves, you know, 88 wins, right? They were kind of, they made a bunch of trades the midseason. They, like I said, they, at basically at this point in the season, both those teams were like 50 and 47. They both had very similar records as the Yankees do now. But look, those teams could hit. Those teams had Austin Riley and Freddie Freeman and Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon. Just going through that, like all those teams had 3-4 guys that were hitting and multiple aces
too in the rotation.
It's just like, look, we don't have one guy having a good season, man. We don't have one guy, like the only guy we had having a good season has been hurt for the past month and a half.
And obviously Cole.
Not like obviously Cole, but like just in terms of like offensively. Like I said, you look at those teams, like they had Anthony Rendon like having like a fucking over 1,000 OPS that year, right? Like you had fucking like
a guy like Ryan Zimmerman stepped up in the playoffs, right? But he was there, yeah.
Obviously, like Acuna was out that year, but like I said, Austin Riley and Freeman were both really good. Like, it's just that matters. And the Yankees don't have anybody even close to that. Like, look, the Yankees don't like people that like they're like, I felt bad because it's like they're like, you know, they always try to have like before the game, like they'll try to have like, oh, like they'll try to preview a guy. And they go like, oh, Gleyber Torres, like he's been hitting, and the highlight reel was just like him hitting singles, and I'm just like, dude, this is so pathetic. Like, but, you know, like credit to Gleyber, he is.
But hitting, I would but, like, take a bunch still... of singles hitters right. in the lineup. No, right
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, like, credit to Gleyber, like he's been hitting, but like he's still not lighting the world on fire. And like, you know, like I said, it's not like you're expecting him to do it all himself. Like he is what he is. But the point being, like, it really, like this team does not have the hitters. Those past teams had that went on runs that like they didn't. If this was like a sleeping giant, like, and that's the worst part about it, like they just like Boone in, like I don't know if he, like I really don't know if he truly believes this, but Boone, the way he talks, like, oh, like we just gotta, like, you know, this guy just gotta, we gotta unlock this guy. I'm like, it's like, dude, there's nothing to unlock. Like, do you really think that all of the sudden that Stanton, DJ, and like all of a sudden these guys are just going to say, oh yeah, dude, we're going to start hitting at like an 850, 900 OPS clip. No, like it's not going to happen, man. Like we're at the point of the season where you could, like this is what they are. Like take away Rizzo's first like month and a half, he's been like the worst hitter in baseball. Like Stanton is I think he's proven in the last couple of years, he's like a low 230 home run a year when healthy type of hitter. Right? Like DJ is literally a guy who's probably not even going to hit like 10 home runs in a full season.
I'm at this sick point. Like, and tired of those are. Guys. The 35 home run, 215 hitter. Like I get blah, blah, blah. Expected batting average, weighted on base average, OPS plus, blah, blah. Like I miss the guys who would hit 260 and hit 28 home runs and drive at 100. Like where are those guys? You get three or four of those
2006.
Guys. Like the Bobby Abreu. Quintessential type player, right? Like high 200s, mid 20 home runs, roughly 100 RBIs every year. Like you don't need a bunch of boppers who hit 40 home runs. Would it be awesome to have three guys who hit 40 home runs in a season? Yeah. The problem is we have guys who are capable of that and then they're hurt or washed. And then if they, like, even we tried to do that with Joey Gallo, right? The guy hit like 160 for the Yankees and didn't hit the home runs that we expected from him. Like you look at a guy like Kyle Schwarber, I'm pretty sure he's hitting like 190 for the Phillies this year, but he just had a stretch a couple days ago where he had a home run in four straight games. Like you can live with that if you get the production, but I still firmly believe, and this may be a boomer take and an outdated baseball metric, but I like the guys who hit close to 300, can drive in 100 runs a year, and don't need to hit 38, 39, 40 home runs, but can hit like 25. Those are guys that those are foundation players.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, something else we should just get into is obviously the Josh Donaldson era is most likely over. And I didn't get the tribute video ready, sadly. I like had it ready, like, you know, deleted, like the way my, you know, very sad. I had like a very long tribute video, but yeah. Let's go over Josh Donaldson's Yankee numbers. 165 games, 25 home runs, 207 batting average, 678 OPS, 92 OPS plus, 180 strikeouts. So people, I think he had 666 at bats. Very telling, very fitting. So yeah, because now obviously he got hurt. He's 60-day IL, and like I said, that's probably it for him. And knowing how the Yankees run, it probably won't, but that should lose Cashman his job. Like, we said it at the time, how bad that trade was, and my God, it was worse than we thought it was going to be, Andrew. It really was. I mean, the way the IKF situation played out at short, even Trevino winning, like, the Platinum Glove last year, I mean, it's kind of just being washed away this year when you say, all right, well, this guy just can't hit for shit, and... Like we said, the whole Trevino thing works if you have a great offense, but when you have the offense we have and then the catcher who also can't hit, it just really just pours salt in the wound. So that's why I think when they were still thinking they had, because like I said, I think even the Yankees front office is realizing that the season's probably over, because now you're hearing that the Yankees are going to try to buy and sell, and they want to get under luxury tax, and they need to drop like $1.5 million, I think, to get under that. So I think they're going to try to sell a bit, like more than they're going to buy, and just kind of saying, like, look, we're going to like still pretend like we're going to compete and still keep like most of our team intact, but yeah, if we can make a few trades here and there, we're going to, and unload some salary and get some value for some guys who are probably going to leave this year or next year, yeah, we're going to.
Because really, I think the biggest problem is that they have guys whose salary they would like to unload, but they've just been so bad that, you know, you made the reference earlier that a guy, George Steinbrenner, would have traded Anthony Rizzo to Kansas City after he laughed in the middle of a sweep on national television, right? Like, I don't even think the worst of these teams would be interested in any of these players. Like, who voluntarily wants to take on Wash, DJ LeMahieu, and the 3 years remaining on his contract? True. Who wants to trade for $20 million of Anthony Rizzo next year? Like, we were waving the white flag and say, the hell with this. I have zero interest in any of these players, and I just want to move their contract. No team in the league is interested in them. I don't want to say no team, but like a team that's a fringe
player. Their value is like so low because of how bad they've been.
Like, think about a team that is on the outs of making the playoffs. Even a team that's kind of in there right now, but is playing for upside. Like, I don't know, the Blue Jays, maybe they would be interested in, well, maybe there's some upside in Rizzo's bat. We'll roll the dice. But they don't want to pay for his contract. They're like, we'll take him on, but you got to pay 80% of the contract. And then what's the point of trading him in the first place if you're paying for the money anyway?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's something else someone was even saying. Someone said, well, Stanton's starting to hit, so maybe trade Stanton. But, like, who's going to take on all that money with Stanton? You know, like, and he's shown some flashes, but not enough flashes where you're going to take on all that money. And, yeah, like I said, it's kind of crazy.
And Max talks about that a lot, too, saying that, like, after next year, his contract is movable because it's, like, less than $20 million a year after you factor in what Miami's paying. But he's going to be 35 at that point. And if he's hitting 200 with limited power, even if the contract is palatable, who wants that guy in your lineup, right? Like, you'd want the guy who's a former MVP, sure, but he's a shell of himself, you know, in 2025 on the contract he'll be playing on. It's just, you can't do it. Even as much as we want to convince ourselves it's possible, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. like I said, that's why I think they really probably will look to the pitching side, because they actually, there's some bullpen arms they have that have value. You know, Herman, they could probably get like something for Herman, you know, like, hey, this guy threw a perfect game, right? He's erratic as shit in other starts, and obviously he has kind of a dark past, but yeah, like they need to do something. And like I said, I've gotten to the point where like I just hate this team. Like I think like most Yankee fans do. It's just like an unlikable team. It's an awful product, and that's why I'm like, look, just sell, blow it up. I mean, it's awful. Like it really is. And look, another thing I want to get into, and like people like will always say, like, oh, Yankee fans are so spoiled. Like, they don't know what a bad team is. It's like, look, man, I'm sorry that, like, and like, we're like, and Andrew, you could attest to this. Me and Andrew and I are Brooklyn Net fans. I know what it's like to be a fan of an awful team. I was a fan of the Brooklyn Nets when they went 12-70. I watched the game where they fucking won their first game. I think they were 0-18. So don't tell me, like, oh, you guys, like, I know what it feels like to be a fan of a shit team. Okay, so like it's I can't.
And the best argument in defense of the Yankees fans being spoiled, it's like I think Max tweeted it a couple weeks ago. It's just like, congrats, 3/4 of those championships were before color television even existed. It's like none of us were alive for that. So the fact that like I was indoctrinated into a fan base that is the most successful franchise in the history of the sport, but most of their championships happened before I was even born, before even some, a lot of them even before my parents were born. Like, what the frig is the point of
a lot of them before, segregation, when the Negro League was still around. Like, you know, like, let's be real. And like,
my grandfather was getting off work doing construction and had to wear a suit to go to Yankee Stadium to watch those teams.
I thought you were going to say
that was the successful team, right?
I thought you were going to say my grandfather had to get off work and then go face like Don, like Murderer's Row. No, but really, like, look, people say, like, look, old age, like Yankee fans are so spoiled, blah, blah. Like, dude, we were promised a championship level team, and I haven't seen the Yankees play in a World Series game since I was in the eighth grade. Like, I graduated college 5 years ago. Like, it's unbelievable that like we're still just like sitting here, and people, like I said, we expect better from this team. We're not complacent. We're not cool with just like, you know, oh, like getting in the playoffs and then getting smacked year in, year out. Like, I'm sorry that we're not satisfied with that.
This is World Series or bust every year. If they were just like, hey, you know what? We like our chances. We built the team. We hope that we can be something this year and it doesn't happen, fine. But they come out and they have the audacity to be like, we're a World Series contender. We're a fully operational battleship. And then this is the product we get. That's the thing. Like, any other team, their ownership isn't promising the fan base, we're going to make a deep run. We're going to potentially win the World Series this year. And then they don't. They just like, hey, you know what? We'll see what happens this year. And if they suck, it's like, I kind of expect that, whatever. But when the ownership tells the fan base, we are good enough to win a title this year, and we're now on a 4-game losing streak. I think it's lost, what, like 7 of our last 10. And we're staring down going under 500 in a week or so, right down the barrel of that. That's a problem. It's the expectations versus reality.
Right. Like I said, just like knowing, if you know you're like a small town market team and you just kind of know what the team is, you have like the expectations are lower. But man, like, this is the richest organization in all four American pro sports. Like, sorry that we expect more. Sorry that we expect more than, you know, one championship appearance in the last 15 years. Like, it's like, it goes without saying. Like, it's like spoiled like that. Like all the teams that have, you know, seen their teams win championships since we last have, like, when we're spoiled, like, give me a break. And something else that, like, you know, because like I said, the whole, like, the talking Yanks, like, I saw a clip from them about how, like, you know, Boone was talking about Canley hitting like the fan in the dugout, and, you know, like, oh, well, like, something about being authentic. And, like, you know, Jake said kind of how, like, be authentic. Like, you guys, like, neuter every player in the organization, and, like, don't let any, like, you're like the most buttoned up organization in like all of sports, but like telling guys to be authentic, like, and like, look, it's not like I'm one of these people that's like against the uniform patches and the shave policy, but like, The one thing, the patches look fine. It's not about that. But the one thing about it that was so hypocritical is, like, they're, like, so all about tradition with, like, the beards and everything else. But then, like, they'll break tradition to get, like, a $20, $25 million a year, like, sponsorship patch, right? Like, they'll break tradition for that with the uniforms. It just shows, like, how hypocritical and, like, money-hungry of an organization they are. But, yeah, like I said, it's just tiresome. And, like, they're an unlikable team. And they're a bad team. Again, I said it a few weeks ago. And I think, like, you know, I have a friend who listens to the pod, and he even asked me after the Rangers series, right, that we took 2 or 3 from the Rangers. Like, man, like, you guys are pretty negative on the pod, like, even after you won 2 or 3. And I'm like, yeah, like, I think we kind of lucked into that series win. Like, I just don't see it getting better. And my God, like, it's kind of bad because, like Andrew, we think we had, like, our worries about this team. Like, I was very, like, I think I still thought they would make the playoffs, but barely. But, yeah, we were both very worried about this team, and they exceeded our expectations. Or however exceeded our expectations. Probably the wrong way to put that.
We just made this podcast the us going on a victory lap podcast, or we just... we just got all high and mighty and be like, well, right. We were right, you were wrong, fuck you.
Like, here he is, the big, but really, it's like, we don't want to do it because, like, man, like, we like, I would love nothing more of all my teams for the Yankees to make it back for the World Series where they belong and win a World Series. And I mean, goddamn, you imagine how much Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball wants that to happen. I mean, it would be the most watched World Series in years. It would have, you know, like, and that's not being like, oh, like, Yankee fans or so. It's like, it, you know, the Yankees being back in the World Series, especially after such an absence, like, that would attract a lot of viewers. And it's not like we're like, a, you know, that's what it's all about. Like, oh, we're just, like, you know, watching views and that's all we care about. But yeah, like, it's frustrating. It really is. And the fact that 2017, that's as close as we got. You know, we haven't been back to Game 7 of an ALCS since then. And, like, that team wasn't even that good. Like, you had, like, Todd Frazier in the dugout. Like, that was, like, a decent at best team. But, and then you just look at all the talented teams we've had since then. Like, that 2019 team was so talented. 2021, even last year's team. Like, on paper, that was a great team. And just haven't come close. You know, they haven't come close since, so. Andrew, any final thoughts about this wonderful team?
I would really rather never say anything
about this. I was about to say, I was wondering if you were still. I was wondering if he was still there. I'm like, I wonder if he just kind of, like, jumped out his window or, like, ran through his wall.
wouldn't be surprising, like, now, would it?
That's all we got for tonight. Said 3-game set coming up against the Royals. And one more thing we didn't mention, the Rodon blowing the kiss thing. Who cares? It's like, if I had to list the top 15 concerns about the Yankees, I wouldn't even list that there. Like, yeah, he's come back. He's, you know, he hasn't looked good. But who gives a shit? Like I said, I could care less about that right now. I think, Andrew, you feel the same way. So, yeah, it's 3-game set against the Royals. If, like I said, if they lose that series, it's sell, sell, sell. Will Judge ever come back? Probably not at this point. What's the point, right? Yeah, we'll see. We'll probably be back. Like I said, we'll probably be back next Monday. It's an off day before the Mets series. A little bit close. Maybe do, like, a trade deadline. Like, it's going to be easier to gauge what they're going to do for the trade deadline. Obviously, we think they're going to sell, but it's the Yankees, and they're literally the most prideful, pompous organization in sports. So we'll see. But for Luigi,
didn't know where they sell.
Yeah, we know. For Luigi, for Andrew, this was the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast. And the Yankees suck.